call Atlantis, and what they also did call Atlantis. They wished to try to record, to retain that information in a way that they hoped would survive another such world catastrophe, another catastrophic event, such as what happened to destroy Atlantis. Therefore, the Greeks sent out stonemasons who had this ancient knowledge and sent them to different spots in the world that they knew of, that the spots of the world that they knew of, that they felt, that they hoped would be likely or possibly likely to survive. They knew that Great Britain had survived the previous cataclysm with a fair degree of intactness as far as the physical landscape goes. They also sent out, and we know that this contradicts what many of you believe, they sent out stonemasons to the what you call the New World, to Mesoamerica, to South America, to North America. They also sent out emissaries east from Greece. Now, this is before Greece was Greece. We are talking quite a long time ago. They sent out people to other countries, but to with varying degrees of success, because of course, each of these parties had to be self-sufficient. They couldn't hop on a plane and fly back home, or dial up and have home FedEx back materials or help. So some of them met hostile conditions where they just did not survive, or they met conditions where, like seeds falling on stone, their efforts just did not take root. But they did send masons to ancient Great Britain, where they did meet with a great deal of success, because they encountered peoples who were already very much in touch with Earth, with Earth's energies, with what some people might call Earth's magics. And there was a compatible blending of energies and information and skills, talents, abilities between the two. The idea of building stone circles, in fact, was met with, it was almost like bringing a match to an already prepared fire. It was all that was needed was the idea. Everything else was there. The ability to work with stone and with earth and with what you would call magics, might call magics, which was just an understanding of some basic earth energetic principles that some of you, a very few, have started to investigate, to rediscover, to even analyze and perhaps find out more about from a more scientific perspective. They had those abilities, and the Greeks brought the ideas. Now, the Greeks didn't necessarily have the idea of anything specific. What they had, the idea, was something built that would last, something in stone, preferably. So, for instance, when they went to Mesoamerica, that was, and of course the ancient Greeks had a connection with Egypt. The Greeks always acknowledged that they learned a great deal from Egypt, that they owed a great deal to Egypt, that they did, of course, know about the pyramids, and they knew that the existence of the pyramids was more ancient than your anthropologists, archaeologists currently think today, most of them. Some of them have an inkling, a suspicion of the truth, but some are afraid to say anything because they don't want to be met with ridicule, laughter, and total discreditation among their colleagues. Others just don't want to think that the age can be older than it is, because they are the kind who would discredit, and so they just go into denial about it. The ancient Greeks brought these various ideas of solid monuments built out of stone. in Mesoamerica, they liked the idea of the pyramids, and they started constructing things that were their own interpretation of what the Greeks were describing. Again, we are using the term Greeks, but you could consider that to be proto-Greeks. In Great Britain, where there were already, where the landscape was different, and there were already there was already a very strong culture that was very different from that in Mesoamerica. The climate was different, the culture was different, the people were different. The way that these ideas of building something permanent was manifested more in the idea of stone circles, which fit more naturally within the landscape. Now, we know that if you come along and look at them, you're not going to say that that's natural. Though we will say that sometimes if you don't look with your inner eyes, you might see a stone circle that actually looks to you like just a lot of rocks, perhaps regularly aligned in a particular way. But if you look with your inner eyes, you will see that there is a certain kind of resonant energy that is within the stones themselves and is created by the alignment of the stones, and was in addition created by both the stones being aligned in a particular way and also activated energetically by the people who were constructing these stone circles using their knowledge of, you could say, an innate knowledge of physics, where they could set in place, much like you have your small little crystal grid, set in place very large grids of energy that would last. Now, one of the differences between your small little gemstone grids and these large stone circle grids is that the energies can still persist even if some of the stones are removed, knocked out of alignment, fall down, etc. Even if you removed every single stone, for example, at Avebury or at Stonehenge, you would still have a resonant energy that is existing there that pulls from the earth itself and intersects with what you call ley lines, which are indeed like conduits of fluid energy that crisscross your earth, your planet. They chose these spots where the ley lines intersected and were strongest, and then they activated the energies there with the stones, within the stones, as they activated the energy in, they used the stone circles, they took the stone circles, and then they activated energies between and among those stones to create a grid that would last. To their eyes, these things fit within the landscape because they did look with their inner eyes and they saw that it was integrated with the energies. If your architects and builders, people who constructed buildings today, were more aware of this concept of activating the energies in a location, aware of this concept of activating energies in a location where you're constructing a building, your buildings would all be very different. There would be different energies about your buildings. There would be different effects that those buildings would have upon the environment, and we will say positive effects. There are things that you can do once your building has been constructed, such as this house that we are in right now. This house has been reinforced by conscious and unconscious intentions and energies of those who have lived here. The channel, having lived here longest with her intentions, has created a shell of energy that exists, that even if you took this house away, that shell of energy would be here. It would be a protective and nourishing and nurturing location. It is one in which people can come in and be free of any ill influences so that it is a haven.